Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Chip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the nine. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back. We are at the College Campus Tailgate Show. It's your host, TP Timeless. We're about to get this thing rolling for the next hour or so. The caller number is 929-477-2759. I'm going to tell you this, Sports City, I was let down by my Georgetown Hoyas. I had to hear about it all week long. But you know what? We back at it, but everybody got their slipper taken off, and there's a couple of Cinderellas dancing around this ballroom. So we're going to get into this the best we possibly can. I got my co-host with me, calling out of the region of the Indiana State. We have Chris Barnett in the building. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, Thomas, I'm doing good, man. Lots of good basketball in the tournament, man. It's been crazy. I can't wait to chop it up with you. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, and we also got NIT basketball, too. We got a lot of people here from NBA on Clubhouse as well. Simulcast situation that we got going on. A lot of success has been going through there and been hearing a lot of good feedback through the email of sportscitychefs@gmail.com. Continue to keep sending us that good information, that good love. Now into the thick of things. We have four games taking flight today. We have Oregon State and Loyola College, Loyola Chicago, Villanova, Baylor, Oral Roberts, Arkansas, Syracuse, Houston. But before we get there, I want to get into all of the stuff that we went through from this past weekend, from Saturday the 20th, and all of the games that went down, all the way to where we are now to get into the Sweet 16, and at least four tickets will be punched as of today. So I don't know where we can begin. We can talk about the heat that's coming out of the state of Alabama and how they are now a Sweet 16 team, and I feel like they could prime themselves to be as far as a Final Four team if they can actually keep this going. Your thoughts on Alabama? They were able to come off with a win up against Iona to set this thing off and remain successful in this postseason.
I think Alabama is a great team, and I think that's what's really putting them apart from some of the other higher seeds. I think throughout the tournament of the SEC tournament, and specifically the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, they've shown to be a complete team, both on offense and defense. The coaching has been solid. They've been able to take advantage of their strengths against others. So I'm big on Alabama possibly getting it as far as the Final Four. In fact, I believe I have them in my bracket representing the SEC in the Final Four. I just kind of liked how their seeding worked out. So shout out to Bama. They're doing good things here in the tournament so far. I don't see too much of a difficult challenge per se, but, you know, it is March and anything can happen.
So you feel like they can knock off Michigan?
I do. I believe they can knock off Michigan. I think they are just as athletic, if not even slightly more athletic in the guard positions and the wing positions. I think the X factor would be how well Wagner plays for Michigan, and if he can exploit that type of mismatch in the post and moving around, with the other big that they have in Michigan. I think Michigan pull it off, but I have Alabama upsetting Michigan.
That's going to be a very entertaining game if they do get down to it. I want to see it happen, especially with Hunter Dickinson, the seven-footer out of the Maryland area, and everybody been so hype about him. And this is all new to him, but he's been doing just fine. So we'll see how Michigan can carry up against Alabama. We'll get into Michigan shortly. Another team that's in the Sweet 16 is Florida State, and they've been able to play well, too, getting out of their first-round situation up against University of North Carolina Greensboro and being successful getting to the Sweet 16. How do you feel about Leonard Hamilton and his Seminoles moving forward? Do you think that these guys can be successful, or does the buck stop here?
I think, you know, for Florida State, I think they have a problem where they can play defense and transition basketball. And if they can get the defensive clamps on, they're going to be very good. But if they come across a team that can shoot past the length and they just can't keep up offensively, I love what Leonard Hamilton has done building the Florida State program. I just think in Indianapolis, I think Michigan just has a little bit too much and comes out on top in a very close game, probably within the 60s, like 68-64.
Okay. So we go from one coach that's in the middle, like no problems, no highs or lows. He's doing as best as he possibly can. We go to another coach that basically has the country on edge and the controversy that's following him. And coming from the Big East, you know, it's a conference that I follow. But Greg McDermott's been able to do a good job to get this Creighton team to survive the storm of the distraction that I can say he caused. And being able to do the best that they can, they came out of the first round beating UC Santa Barbara, doing enough as they can to get to the Sweet 16. Can they be successful in pulling off probably the biggest upset in college basketball in this next round?
You know, I think you and I, we've talked about Coach Greg McDermott, and we are probably on an agreement there. The players have really bought into each other to pull together some type of cohesion to help propel them into a good tournament run. They took on an Ohio team that a lot of people picked as an upset special. They survived the Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara, as you said, which was also a popular upset special alert that a lot of people were saying. I just happen to think Gonzaga is just too good, but if there was a team right now that could play Gonzaga, it would be Creighton. They play that type of brand of basketball of offensive, you know, firepower, instantaneous, like microwave heat at times. And they can score. So if the team can continue this emotional wave of like unity and playing with purpose, I can see an upset, but I wouldn't bet on it. I think, you know, Jalen Suggs and Tispert and a couple of the other Gonzaga upperclassmen will just be too much for Creighton to overcome.
I want to get, like, critical here, and I know I don't usually – like messing around with these type of issues, but I have to because we're in front of this coach right now. If they are to pull this off and knock off Gonzaga, which we'll be talking about shortly, who gets more credit, the coach of surviving all backlash and storm or the players to get through this situation?
That's a great question. Personally, I say the players, but I would actually ask, you know, what you would think as someone who does follow the Big East. Well, we've seen some Big East teams in the past go through certain type of coaching issues or team issues. What do you think in terms of nowadays in Creighton? I think if they were able to pull it off, it would be a great story. I think the players should get credit, but I'm sure the media narrative will skew towards how they were forgiving and Coach Greg McDermott is contrite and stuff like that. But I would like to know what you think about that, because that's a great question.
I baffled myself because you threw it right back to me. I don't know how to answer it. It's crazy because you look at his situation, and I'm not gonna lie, I was a fan of his. I can't even say like I'm not a fan of his. It's just that the statement that he made is questionable. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do you feel behind the scenes? Like, how do you feel when you're away from the organization, or when you're at home and, you know, Doug comes around or the family's around? Like, that's what makes me worry about it. But he's been able to apologize. He wanted to step down and resign, and they were like, no, we're going to keep going forward together. So it's like, I look at them together as a situation, because the kids, it was like, I think it's one or two kids that took it offensive. The rest of the team was like, let's work together. Like we don't want to be the distraction. And they've been doing it as best as they possibly can up until this point. So I want to give a lot of credit to the players. Like, no, I don't think they deserve to be, you know, overshadowed by the coach making a statement and him actually turning this around and, you know, making this his success story. But then I look at Greg McDermott to have that much moxie go on and then his team buy into him, regardless of what he may have said, even though it was ridiculous, you know, to say the least. But he does deserve credit to get them to the Sweet 16, because any other team would have, you know, packed up and let this thing go first round or second round, and they're a Sweet 16 team. And we were talking about this last night. I had something going on, and they were talking about all of the exits that Creighton had in the past couple of seasons. They've been first-round exits almost every other season that they've been in the Big Dance. So this is something that is considerable about what they've been able to do with this distraction going on across the nation. So I think together they deserve it. But if I had to pick one, I give the players more credit than him, because he made the crazy statement, and he has to survive this storm. But I don't overlook what he's done despite the situation.
I agree 100%. In fact, I've been struggling to think of a similar situation for any team in any tournament, and I'm struggling to find something like this. Like, maybe Bobby Knight had an issue, but, like, I don't think it was like this. So, I agree with you 100%, Ty.
Okay, well, I'm going to move right along, because that's a real heavy topic. And I feel bad for him, because I really feel like if they get bumped right here, his job could be in trouble. Or not to just say it's in trouble. I think they probably already have it in line. I don't know. If they keep him, then the questions will be in front of them, and I want to see how Creighton does handle this. So the next team I'm going to go to is the state of Michigan. The Wolverines win their matchup up against Texas Southern 82-66, advancing to the second round and winning their matchup as well. Michigan being one of the more known teams across the board, playing well all season long out of the Big Ten. Do you think that they could pull this off and get to an Elite Eight and fight toward a Final Four, even though we did just have a discussion with Alabama potentially meeting them?
Yeah, I think Michigan gets past Florida State. I mean, there's a chance Florida State wins if they can lock in on D. But I think Michigan, under Juwan Howard, they have a multifaceted offensive tack. They can go perimeter. They can go screen and pick and roll. They can go half-court sets in the post. So I think they're a little bit too much for Florida State. I don't think, you know, they have seen a team like Alabama and have beaten them this year. I think every loss that they've had, except for maybe that Ohio State loss, has been to a team similar to Alabama. And you could even say that, you know, similar to last year when they started building this momentum. And I think Alabama needs to start getting a little bit of respect. They've been doing better over the, you know, consecutive years. But Michigan can beat Alabama. They need to be able to get the ball in the post and do an inside-out game. And I think if they can do that, they would be well-positioned in the Final Four as well, with the likes of Illinois losing earlier. But I don't want to get into your pocket on that. But, yeah, I think they can. I just happen to like Alabama slightly more in the Elite Eight matchup going into the Final Four.
This is getting too intriguing with a lot of these teams and how powerful they can be. And this is where the buck is going to start stopping for a lot of them, especially with Michigan and Alabama meeting up. And this sounds more like a football matchup, but now they're relevant basketball talk as well. One of the more surprising teams that I do want to get into, and it's crazy that I look bad and talking good about them, is USC, University of Southern Cal. They've been struggling to stay afloat the top 25, but they have been in the mix of the top 25 throughout the season, and they've been able to do enough damage to beat Drake 72-56 out the gate, successfully going to a second-round matchup and winning that, and being a Sweet 16 out of the Pac-12, which I actually am still hung up on the fact of not being a strong conference, but they are definitely taking care of business in this tournament. Your thoughts, at least on USC out the gate, and if they can be successful in this next coming round also.
What's interesting is it's USC versus Oregon. So this is going to be a tournament game where both teams have seen the other team twice. And I'll say that the USC Trojans are giving me a Kansas vibe, and they just actually beat Kansas. But they're giving me that Kansas vibe when they had the Morris twins. Here they have the Mobley brothers. And right now they are definitely leaning in on the Mobley brothers, and I want to give them their props because they're carrying USC through the tournament in dominant fashion. Oregon's an interesting seven seed. I also, like you, was kind of down on the Pac-12 throughout the majority of the regular season, and even in the selection cases, I thought that they got a lot of favorable seedings. But they also came out, and that's who USC faces, and I think, you know, if the Mobley brothers can continue their dominance, then I think they win easily. But if they can't get both the Mobley brothers to play well and Oregon continues hitting their shots, then we might be looking at an Oregon-Gonzaga matchup, which would be crazy in its own right.
I definitely agree. And speaking of Oregon, I'll say that quickly. Being Oregon winning, or I want to say advancing, up against VCU, they were more fresh in their matchup, and then they come into a game in the second round and clearly win that game, putting up over 90 points. Your thoughts on Oregon and also VCU situation? I mean, they worked hard as ever to get to a tournament, and you can't stop the tournament and wait for 2 weeks, but it's just like it's a very sad situation for VCU not being able to compete due to, I don't know if it was more or less contact tracing or if one of them had the COVID, but you know, for them getting to this point in time in the season to watch it all wash away and not lose their way out. I mean, your thoughts on Oregon being successful in moving on to this game and also how you feel about VCU basically having to be eliminated due to the nature of the pandemic.
Yeah, I think Oregon shouldn't waste this chance. I had VCU beating them in the opening matchup. I thought they matched up with the perimeter players of Oregon very well. And they play a brand of defense that's sustainable throughout the entire game. So I thought that Oregon was in trouble against VCU. So I definitely feel for every one of the players and coaching staff that put so much work and energy into this season for the Rams, because they were definitely, for me, a team that was going to be what I thought was a favorable seeded Oregon team, as I didn't see them as worthy of a seven. But much like a couple other teams who might have played teams that had favorable seedings, VCU didn't have that opportunity to take it to them. So Oregon did advance, like you said, and they put up 95 on a good Iowa team. And that ended Luka Garza's wonderful career at Iowa. So, again, Oregon shouldn't be anything to sneeze at, but knowing that they came in rested, had another week of practice where they were probably practicing solely against Iowa play sets because they didn't think Grand Canyon University, and shout out to them as they lost a player in a car accident 3 days after playing, but they didn't think Iowa was going to lose, so they were probably practicing heavy on Iowa, which is why they were able to be so fresh and what looked like more in tune with a game plan for success. So they shouldn't waste this opportunity because things like this don't happen. And unfortunately, VCU was snake bitten.
And that's a very unfortunate situation, man. And I wanted to start the show off with a person that passed away, but I was going to wait till the end of the show, too. It's like it's sad at what's going on, especially in the nature of this pandemic, and losing somebody to a car accident is like add on to what's going on across the globe. There's another team that I want to talk about while I get ready to go into the next set of teams from the following play-in day. And this is UCLA. And UCLA having to fight their way back up against Michigan State to get up in as in a play-in game. their first game up against BYU and beat BYU by double digits, and then they're successful in the second round also. Them being a strong candidate to push toward the Elite Eight, how surprising have the Bruins been thus far?
I tell you what, I might actually take out a pad of paper and a pencil and write an old-fashioned letter of apology mailed to the UCLA men's basketball team, because I didn't even think they were going to beat Michigan State. State and Sparty, I mean, they started out hot in that play-in game, too, and then just folded in the second half. And then I didn't think they were going to be able to match up with BYU shooting, and then sure enough, they beat BYU, and this was with them losing their top scorer of the play-in game. I wasn't high on Abilene Christian, but they beat Texas, which led to, you know, a whole bunch of ramifications for that program. And I was thinking, well, a beat-up UCLA team with two, you know, basically two extra games, Abilene Christian might give them some run, and then they dominated Abilene Christian. So I feel a little bit of trepidation for Alabama simply for the fact that sometimes a team gets hot at the right time. Sometimes it just seems like all momentum or fate is working out for them, and UCLA seems to be one of those teams this year. But I just don't see how they beat Alabama. But after what they've done the last three games in this tournament, I can't count them out. It's kind of like what Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until you're punched in the mouth. And if they can punch Alabama in the mouth, then we'll see what UCLA has in store.
That is the truth, man. I'm a big Mike Tyson fan, so that's very interesting that you bring that up. But UCLA has been able to do enough damage up until this point to be respectfully a team that could approach the Elite Eight. This is a anybody's game type situation. All records are thrown out. And the way that they've been able to, you know, bond together, this is a UCLA team that you got to pay attention to, especially the way that they got in here, being down double digits and being able to play their way into this and being one of those teams that people took lightly, and you can't. You can't take any of the teams lightly. You got to go out there and play ball. Last but not least, in this first day of play-ins that are in this Sweet 16 in Gonzaga, and probably the talk of the tournament, the best team, the overall number one on the season, they've been taking care of business ever since they got out the gate, winning games by double digits up against almost every and anybody, beating Norfolk State their first game 90-55, being successful in the second round also. Like I said, they play an interesting matchup up against a team that I watch and know a good amount. How do you feel about Gonzaga and Mark Few and company? How do they get this done? How do they continue to storm through or survive somebody trying to knock their Cinderella slipper off? Well, they're not even a Cinderella, but, you know, knock them off their number one overall stand.
Man, I think you said it best. I think you said it a couple weeks ago. If Mark Few doesn't win this year, like, I think we have to just move on, right? Like, not him from Gonzaga, but, like, we have to stop taking Gonzaga, you know, as serious as they want us to consider taking them, because, like, the tournament is set up for him to win, right? Like, you would agree with that?
Oh, definitely. For sure. I think so.
Yeah, so if the tournament's set up for him to win, Illinois is knocked out, that leaves, you know, Michigan and Baylor as the top two teams against you, and I think we could probably both agree that Baylor might be the most dangerous in terms of total talent and athleticism, but this is Gonzaga's year, and if they can't get it done, I mean, it's kind of like, I think we had this conversation also about teams like Tennessee, like with Rick Barnes. Like, if Gonzaga can't get it done, he might be entering Rick Barnes status, in my personal opinion. He's had great teams the past full decade. I don't really understand the argument of the West Coast bias. If you have great teams and you schedule high quality out of conference and you dominate, you should be able to at least get to enough Final Fours where the odds are in your favor that you're going to win at least one championship. And he's yet to be able to cross that threshold yet. So, I mean, I think he's got it against Creighton, but I would defer to you because I also think Creighton can play basketball. And then, like, you know, I think they can give Gonzaga a compelling game. But with you seeing Creighton and watching a lot of ball, I'm interested to know what you see in this 1-5 matchup.
Man, I want to save that. I want to save that when I get to the score, get to the matchup. Well, no. You're doing a good job. This is great. But and that's like, I'm like goosebump nerve worthy over this situation because this is a game I don't want to see go down because I love the Big East, but I can't lie. I love Mark Few as a coach and what he's been able to do with Gonzaga year after year. Ever since I really started paying attention to him with Morrison being one of the better shooters that he's ever had and the way that things fell apart in that season and then going up against North Carolina and them losing that championship as well. I mean, he's been close. He's took all of these bullets as much as possible. Gonzaga doesn't play in a good conference. They have no team that challenges them. And it's like where he's playing the teams that are within the schedule. So it's like you got to respect what he's been able to do. So this is the year that they can do it. And not only is this the year, they've been beating everybody up bad. It's like teams know when they play Gonzaga, they've been beaten. It's not like, oh, we had a good game. Like, no, it's like we got to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to deal with them. So just like you said, and I've been mentioning this a while and you've heard me, this is the year that he needs to put this together. They need to put together the perfect storm to get to that big dance. But they have to go game by game because they're going to get everybody's best because they know that they are the overall number one team in the nation. So I'm going to go to the following day, and this is where it gets pretty interesting, people. And this team is cheating. This team is cheating. They are not fair. And with me saying that is Loyola Chicago, for them to pull off the win up against Illinois. The Illinois Fighting Illini was the number one seed in their bracket. I am not going to lie. I had Illinois get into the Final Four, and it messed up my bracket. And it's like, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen with them with their 101-year-old, like, rabbit foot or horseshoe or four-leaf clover? She is unfair. If I see her, run or like, tell her she could go get a tea party or something. Like, put her somewhere where she's comfortable. Don't let her come to the court because she's magic for this team. And for them to pull it off up against a strong Illinois team, I mean, your thoughts on Loyola Chicago, I mean, them both being from the region of Illinois. I don't know if they're too familiar with playing each other, but they clearly beat Illinois winning that game by 13. How do you feel about Loyola moving forward and having a legit shot to at least get to the Elite Eight?
You know what's funny? Their school abbreviation is LUC, L-U-C. And they are carrying around Mr. Gene, a 101-year-old, pure luck and divine inspiration rolled up into one lovely lady carrying Loyola Chicago against wasn't Illinois the 2 seed overall too at that and like mm-hmm. you said, they won that game. It wasn't that Illinois lost that game. They went out and put up 71, which they did the week before. They won that game convincingly, and they're playing an Oregon State team who, you know, beat two higher-seeded teams, too. And, again, I had no I didn't even think Oregon State was going to get past Tennessee. And they have the inside track tied to get to the Elite Eight and, honestly, possibly the Final Four because it's not out of realm. It's absolutely crazy. And you know what? You're right. If you are an opposing team and you see Sister Jean, it's best not to get close to her. But if you are somebody who's just watching the game, I mean, I would have to be, like, as close as possible. Maybe I'd get lucky and walk home and find, like, a winning scratch-off ticket that somebody accidentally dropped. Because good night, man. She is just an inspirational story.
If I was the other team, I'd be like, no wheelchairs into the gymnasium. She'd have to watch the game from outside. don't come in here at all. I don't want to see you around. She's almost like Annabelle or something. Something bad's going to happen when she's around. I mean, even though she's a good cause, but something bad's going to happen when she's around. It's been happening continually since she's been there, and shout out to her and her help, and how she's been able to hold up and be a good standing figure for Loyola. The next matchup I had, or next team that I want to talk about, is Baylor. Baylor being successful in knocking off Wisconsin, being one of the top five teams all season long. They stumbled out of the blocks at the end of the regular season. but gain his strength at least approaching the tournament. How strong are you on Baylor being successful in getting to a Final Four or at least just advancing to an Elite Eight?
You know, I was really high on Baylor. They had Hartford. You know, I thought they would beat Wisconsin, who beat North Carolina. But what I didn't see was the same type of defense that I saw in the opening matchup. I mean, they gave 8 more points, which is not a lot. But Wisconsin, not counting their 85-point explosion against North Carolina, they're a 60-64-point a game team, and they put up 63 against Baylor. And that kind of has me concerned because you're going to go face a Villanova team that, although they don't have Gillespie, they have a system that's been in place and every player has been recruited for that system. They have a championship-winning coach in Jay Wright. And I think arguably, and I think we've even talked about this, he might be one of the most underrated coaches in the country. And they beat a North Texas team that whooped Purdue, and everybody count them out. So I would be worried that Baylor's defense hasn't translated against, moderate Big Ten teams or moderate competition throughout the entire season. They beat up on all the cupcakes, but they play somebody who is, you know, decent, then it's usually a 10-point game. I think Villanova has a chance for an upset here.
This would be pretty crazy if they could pull this off, man. I don't know how this will go down if they do get upset, but I feel like Baylor is strong enough to avoid it. But then again, going up against a strong Big East team that has won championships, has a coach with this type of caliber, anything could happen. We talked about this last night, and I was like, this might be the end of the run, but I don't want to count any team out. If Baylor actually stubbed their toe, or if this is a situation where Villanova has been through this before and pulled that I told you so out, if they have that card with them. Now, to me, one of these teams that I do want to talk about right now is a surpriser up until this point, and this is a team that I know for quite some time within me following college basketball, being a Big East guy, but they are no longer a part of the Big East. They are an ACC team, being the Syracuse Orange. And Jim Boeheim finding it within his own living room to be a storm of a player. How do you feel about Buddy Boeheim, the way that he's been able to shoot the ball and help Syracuse be successful in his father's team?
I tell you what, I've got to give an apology to one Buddy Boeheim. He's better than Nick Stauskas. I should have never made that reference. He's been able to carry his team and his father to another Sweet 16 when I think everybody pretty much kind of wrote Syracuse off. I think that kind of runs out, you know, today. I think Houston will be able to just out-athlete them. Houston is a dynamic team. They're able to score on the perimeter. They're able to score in transition. They're able to score on the post. Rutgers gave them a real big scare last game, and I think that'll lock them in to beat Syracuse. But Buddy Boeheim is having a great tournament. No matter what happens for Syracuse, I'm happy that a son and his father can have that experience. I think that's an awesome story. I just don't want to jump on the Buddy Boeheim hype train beyond what he is, which is a great shooter and a good college basketball player.
I agree. I don't want to jump on the hype train either because he wasn't really that big of a player, but he's played decent ball to be relevant in a lot of these college basketball games. But the 30-point explosion, we did not see this coming. And he's going to be the guy that they're going to look to try to slow down. So he's got to be ready for this because he's no longer a secret anymore. These teams are going to have to gear up and slow down at least their shooting and try to shoot the ball well because everybody knows that they got to deal with that 2-3 zone. So that's forcing a lot of teams to come out and shoot the ball. And you're going to have to deal with Syracuse one way or another. Boeheim has been another coach that's been here and done that and has a championship attached to his resume also. So this is going to be big to see if Syracuse could actually win again. And for them to be an 11th seed, People may take them lightly, but you can't. You can't. They play defense, and they bought into the coach's system. And I think they can actually advance, but it'll be a true test if they can. Just to say the least, it needs to be those games that Syracuse does end up losing when it's just too much on their back. But prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, Syracuse. Another team with a considerable run that they're on to, being the Razorbacks, a.k.a. the Hawks, winning their matchup last round up against Texas Tech, 68-66. Interesting enough that it was that tight. Arkansas has been playing good ball all season long, being a top-10 ranked team, getting into the tournament as well. How do you feel about Arkansas moving forward? Can they advance as well?
I think Arkansas is worried about Oral Roberts, man. I'm not even going to lie. I was high on Arkansas going into the tournament. I actually had them advancing here facing Florida. Oh, no, sorry, facing Ohio State, with Ohio State winning. They play a great game. They have an NBA player. Forget the name. I think it's Moses. It's off the top of my head, and I can't get it out of my mouth. But they have an NBA player. And they have a staunch defense at times, and they have good ball movement and good coaching. And in the tournament, when you have an NBA player, if they can get hot, you can win. And I think, you know, what they saw against Texas Tech fortified their team concept. That was a scrappy game. And coming out on a game like that, as long as they don't overlook Oral Roberts, who's having a great run, I think Arkansas can prevail. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, who they play against Baylor or Villanova. And I did actually want to ask you a question, what you thought if Villanova looked like the least rattled team, because that's what I think Arkansas is in their matchup, is the least rattled team. And I think that is a very important trait to have when you're this part in the tournament. And your nerves are actually starting to get more haywired, because, you know, you're trying to get to the place where you're going to focus to get to a championship. So I think being that steady of a team after coming off a tight game with Texas Tech, I'm big on Arkansas today.
Speaking of which, about Oral Roberts, we'll go right there. For the success train that they've been able to do to knock off not only Ohio State, but also beating up on the Gators, too, and winning that matchup. I mean, this is the Cinderella that is dancing in the streets on an invitation across the nation. They are dancing in the streets for real. I cannot believe Oral Roberts has been able to get to a Sweet 16, busted my bracket up right out the gate, because I had Ohio State getting to the Final Four as well in one of my brackets. Your thoughts on their success, and, I mean, you briefly touched on them. I mean, this is one heck of a matchup for them moving forward.
All you need to know is that where is Oral Roberts University was one of the most Googled questions because a lot of people didn't know where they were or what they are and what they do, other than that their name is Oral Roberts. And you are right, they are on a run that can equal George Mason's run, if anybody remembers that George Mason run in the NCAA tournament. What was that, 2006?
I think so.
You know, yeah, as a 15 seed, like, they've already knocked off the 2. They knocked off the 7. Well, if they knock off the 3, I mean, all that's left is a Villanova or a Baylor squad. And at that point, what do they have to lose? Well, it's not like they have anything to lose right now. And I think that's what we're seeing with Oral Roberts, is they are just giving 110% that proverbial impossibility quote. And I think that their line ends here, but like every time I've said it, they've won by 3. So it's definitely going to be a great game. It's probably going to be one of the more entertaining games at first, because I think Oral Roberts might be able to jump out to a quick lead, and then that might actually buoy them to another upset.
Yeah, I don't want to count them out either. I don't want to talk about no team and no light like that to make them feel like they don't have a shot. Because believe me, I have been proven wrong. I just want to see these games commence and see how they all pan out, especially the way that Oral Roberts has been able to play. And knocking off Ohio State is a statement. Like, with them beating Florida, I feel like Florida was questionable. Like, I don't really feel strong about how Florida's been playing all season long. I think that they were one of the teams, if there was more stronger play throughout the nation or more games being played. I don't think Florida would have made the tournament if this was a different year, but being that they had to fill in a lot of these brackets, I think that's what the chance that Florida got here and were successful out of the gate. And Oral Roberts showed why that they shouldn't have been there. Villanova, I mean, like I said, we talked about them in great length. These guys being a team that's won a championship two out of the last, I want to say, 6 years possibly, with Jay Wright being probably one of the stronger coaches in college basketball. They are dealing with an injury that has hindered them with Gillespie being out, but they are doing what they can to actually survive the storm. Your thoughts on Villanova, can they continue to succeed as the five seed in this bracket?
Well, I kind of alluded to it before. I know we're now here, so I can ask you this question when I'm done. I think Villanova, with Jay Wright, who I do think is, you know, maybe underrated is not the right, correct word to use. Maybe the word should be underappreciated. I view them as the Miami Heat or Toronto Raptors of the NCAA. They just are not rattled to me. Like, they go in losing Gillespie, everybody's like, oh, well, Winthrop, that's a 5'12", that can be Winthrop, and then they handle Winthrop. You know, North Texas jumps on Purdue, and everybody says, well, you know, North Texas has some athleticism and some guys who can run, and then they beat North Texas by 20 points. So, like, Baylor better not outlook Villanova. They better not be looking ahead to Arkansas because, you know, for my question to you, to me, they look like the least rattled team in the tournament. And I want to know what your thoughts are, if you see what I see as a veteran-like Villanova team is just putting one foot in front of the other, putting their head down, and doing what Coach Jay Wright has coached them to do.
Exactly what you said is exactly why I respect Villanova. And in that championship up against North Carolina where they won it at the buzzer where the kid hit the shot from half court to win it, basically, Jay knew that shot was going in. He basically said – he said money when the kid took the shot. Like, he knew that they were ready for it. And knowing Gillespie's down and out and can't play, they are the one college that I look at where they hold that mentality next man up. And they've done as much as they can, even though they lost the game here or there. But you can't sit up here and act like you're going to overlook Villanova or just be like, okay, well, they're down with one of their strength pieces that we could actually take them out. You're going to have to go out there and play that 40 minutes of basketball to see if you can be successful up against a Wildcats team fresh out of the Big East. And knowing that the Big East is a prime war, they basically been tested steel sharp and steel within their own respective conference in itself. So I know that they can't overlook Villanova. This is a game that I'm on edge to see how this ends up panning out. Obviously, I feel like the Bucks can stop here, but I would not be surprised if Villanova won this game and shook up everything in the brackets, because I'm telling you, we've seen madness throughout this month of March. Last but not least, at least for the games that have played to where we're at in this point, and I'm going to talk about the matchup soon, we have Oregon State, who knocked off Oklahoma State 80-70, pushing themselves into a Sweet 16 situation. Oregon State won the Pac-12 conference championship. They get into the tournament and just basically take care of business up against Tennessee, get into this matchup against Oklahoma State, winning their matchup. How serious are you thinking about Oregon State moving on while everybody's counted the odds against them?
I sure as heck didn't have them beating Tennessee. And after Oregon State beat Tennessee, I believed I joined you in your assessment of Rick Barnes. And now we'll never trust Rick Barnes as a tournament coach ever again. And then they came out even more surprisingly. They beat a surefire top three pick. And we do know that this is a team game. We understand this is March. But normally, if you have such a NBA talent on your roster, your team can coalesce around that talent and you can beat a lesser team. I thought Oregon State was the lesser team, but kudos to them for being able to outlast the Oklahoma State Cowboys and Cade Cunningham. But you know what? They run into Lady Jean, and I'm not counting Lady Jean out on anything. So that alone might seal Oregon State's fate. Matchup-wise, Oregon State shoots the ball better than Loyola Chicago, though. So if they can continue their hot shooting that they've had for the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, honestly, then they have a chance to win and get into an Elite Eight when you were correct. Everybody wrote them off. There's people who didn't even think they should be in the tournament. I was one of them. But yet here they are, and this is why we love, you know, March Madness.
So picking up right where you just left off at, who wins the matchup? We're starting right here, Oregon State or Loyola Chicago. Loyola is favored by 7 in this matchup. Who do you like and why?
I have Loyola Chicago. I have them winning a 68-63 type game. I think Oregon State's run will be over. I think this break, this 4-day break they had, will actually be their downfall. Whereas a team like Loyola Chicago that plays on defense and transition, a team like Oregon State plays on shooting and momentum. And I think if you can have a break too long and they can come out cold, and if they come out cold, I think Loyola Chicago, like they did to Illinois, going to be able to get out on top and control and dictate the tempo of the game. But if Oregon State comes out and, let's say, hits the first seven of 8 shots, then look out, because you're probably looking at another 80-point game. And I don't know if Loyola can score 80 points.
This is very tough, because I've been talking enough junk about the Pac-12 and don't know which way to go with Oregon State, because they've been able to answer the bell. They get to a Sweet 16, and the coach, the way that the coach was talking to his presser, he was basically telling everybody to stop overlooking the Pac-12. So it felt like he was personally talking to me. And then Loyola Chicago, the storm that they've been able to go through, especially knocking off Illinois, like I feel like they feel like destiny is on their side. So I give a lot of credit to what Loyola Chicago has been able to present. I am going to go with Lady Luck, sister, and 101, if I don't even know what to say about what she's been able to bring together for this team for the past couple of seasons, but I do not want to overlook what she's been able to bring for Loyola Chicago. I'm going to stand firm on what I say, man. I feel like this is the day that Oregon State may end up falling off. I got to go with Loyola Chicago to start this one off. The next matchup I have, and I want to see how you feel about it. Now, we briefly discussed it, but I want to give me a pick and reason why: the Villanova Wildcats or the Bears out of Baylor. Who do you like and why?
Oh, man, I think I have a harder time picking this game than the Syracuse-Houston game. My heart is telling me to pick Villanova. For everything that I said before, they're the least rattled team. They're a veteran team. The Jay Wright is the most underappreciated coach. I just don't see them keeping up with Baylor's athleticism. I think Baylor can jump out early. I think it'll force Villanova to rush their shots. So I have Baylor winning 76-63, 76-65.
Okay, so he's going with Baylor. The Big 12 advances. Okay, so this is the trouble one, because they are heavily favored in this matchup. The Razorbacks are favored by 11 up against Oral Roberts, but we've seen stranger things happen with Oral Roberts. I'm not even worried about that spread or anything. How do you feel about the Hogs up against Oral Roberts? Do you think they advance, or do you think Oral Roberts are still in that glass Cinderella slipper?
I mean, can I say that I want to see Oral Roberts win? Am I allowed to do that? Because if so, then I want to see Oral Roberts win. I want a 15 seed in my Elite Eight. I wouldn't even mind a 15 seed in my Final Four. I just think Arkansas needs that team. I just think, similar to Villanova and Alabama, these are the three teams that I just think they put their head down and do what they do and nothing else. And I think that's going to be enough for Arkansas. Unfortunately for Oral Roberts, I think they lose tonight.
Man. I'm going to say Arkansas. I'm going with the Hogs to get this done. I'm not going to overlook that. that these guys are, you know, primed to be here, being the top 10 ranked team, like I said, before they got into the tournament. Oral Roberts has been a heck of a success story, but I feel like it's 11:59, 38 milliseconds. Like, I feel like that's going down. It's about to strike 12, and this Clipper is going to be left on that red carpet, and people are going to start chasing them down the stairs. And I feel like this is Arkansas's time to prove that they should be at least at Elite 18 and a potential Final Four candidate. So I think this is where everything starts with Oral Roberts. Prove me wrong, because like Chris said, it would be very interesting to see at least a 15 seed as an Elite 8 and threaten to be a Final Four team. Like, this is respectable, and the job they've been able to do to get to this point. Okay, so the last game that I have for this day being Syracuse up against Houston. Who do you like in this matchup? This is a very intriguing matchup. Houston doing what they could throughout the season, only losing 3 games on the season. Syracuse putting a heck of a storm up at the end of the season. This is a perfect storm for a great game. How do you like this? Boeheim up against Houston in the Cougars.
You know, last week I said, you know, everybody's going to be saying it's Syracuse's 2-3 zone. The week before, I said that everybody's going to say it's Syracuse's 2-3 zone. And here I am about to say it. It's all about Syracuse's 2-3 zone. Rutgers gave Houston problems. I didn't think Rutgers was going to give Houston problems. And that's kind of alarming to me. If Syracuse can keep Buddy Boeheim shooting, you know, hot and can get that 2-3 zone, you know, rotating at a high efficiency level, I'm worried. And this is why it's been so hard for me. I think Alabama is going to win in another similar matchup, so I'm actually going to go reverse, and I'm going to pick Syracuse with the upset, being the closing game at 9:55. I think it'll have an old-school Big East tournament feel for Syracuse only, like playing at the Garden, and I think they pull it out. Low-scoring affair, 68-60.
Well, for purposes around Sports City and also on NBA on CH, this means a lot for, like, bragging right kind of and brotherhood stuff as well between me and one of the co-hosts here. So this is a very intriguing matchup. I love it, and I'm throwing the spread out the window. I'm not even worried about how it's supposed to look. I think that they're kind of matched evenly, and I'm going to go with Houston to pull this off. I think Houston can actually win this game going up against a Syracuse team that has not been strong throughout the season, but they've been able to put it together at the end of the season and been that storm where a lot of people aren't wary of what they've been able to mix up. So I think I'm going to go with Houston to continue to push toward an Elite Eight and try to get a Final Four bid. This is a magical season by Syracuse for what they've been able to do with Buddy Boeheim and his father. It's almost like that year down in Georgia with R.J. Hunter and his father being the coach. But this is different, and Syracuse doing this being a storm out of the ACC. Okay, so the last four games I want to get into before the show closes, we got 8 minutes left, 7 minutes left every countdown. We have Creighton going up against Gonzaga. Who do you like? This is Big East versus the number one big dog overall. Who do you like?
Oh, we have Deshaun now with us live from the tournament as well, I believe. So I do want to give him his time as well. Let him answer the question if possible, Ty, since he just got here. He's been busy.
Okay.
Can you repeat that one? What was that last one that we were looking at?
If you want to talk about the Houston-Syracuse, or we could go into the Creighton-Gonzaga game.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that Creighton stands a chance. I got a good feeling without asking either of you guys that you kind of feel the same way. Now, whether you'll admit it or not, I'm not really sure. But I don't – in the end result, whether – regardless of how great of that number is of our confidence level in Gonzaga and or Creighton, I just don't think that Creighton's going to win this game. Not only do they have to have a – is there a higher letter grade than an A-plus?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to create one today. So they would have to play like an A++, and they're going to need some help in addition to that from Gonzaga to play really bad, if I'm just being honest. Like, their worst game that they've played all season. That's what I think ultimately and essentially that it would take. As far as Houston and Syracuse, I mean, I'm really intrigued by that matchup. When someone asked me about the game I'm anticipating watching the most, that's probably Michigan and Florida State. But I think that Houston, not only because I took them to go to the Final Four, but just the story that's being put behind Syracuse of not only with, you know, the coach and his son, but even more so, I'm not sure that anybody, two teams that we're going to see coming up, like this weekend, like I'm not sure that anybody has come into the tournament with a bigger chip on their shoulder than Villanova, who is coming into this thing without a point guard and, you know, basically on to the Sweet 16. And then, of course, Syracuse, who nobody thought should even be playing in the tournament. So I'm really intrigued by both of those matchups. I've got Houston advancing, but it would not surprise me to see Syracuse advance. I just think that Houston does have the guards. And then, of course, needless to say, I'm going to take Gonzaga in the other matchup.
Leave it to this guy to start stirring up stuff at the tailgate. Okay. So, Chris, who do you like in this matchup, Creighton or Gonzaga?
I like Gonzaga to win. I kind of agree with taking Gonzaga playing bad, which isn't unheard of, and it would take Creighton to be able to tap in, as we said earlier, to that cohesion they've built through this turbulent time to charge them to play better defense and hold Gonzaga down to win. But I do have Gonzaga winning.
I think that this is unanimous across the board. I'm going with Gonzaga as well. But just like I said, if McDermott is able to pull this off, this would be one heck of a success story. And I wonder how much consideration they would give him over the team. Or if they look toward which star player, whether it's Jefferson or Zagorowski. I mean, these are guys that I could think of off the top of my head that could be the players that could be impactful in this matchup, but we'll see. I really think Gonzaga should be able to win this game, but I'm not counting Creighton out. I don't care how this looks at. You know that. I mean, they are a well-groomed team also. Florida State, Michigan. This is a gloves-are-off matchup. Juwan versus Leonard. How do you guys see it? I'll come to you first on this, Chris. Seminoles, Wolverines.
I'll be real quick. If Michigan can get their inside game and go inside out, they'll win. If not, I think Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles will have the length and defense and transition to win. But I will pick Michigan.
DT, how do you feel about it, Big Ten or ACC?
Yeah, I don't think it's really about Big Ten or ACC, but I think it's about Michigan and Florida State, and I'm going to take Florida State for a couple different reasons. One of them being that this has been one of the more underrated or underappreciated or unrecognized or whatever that you want to use when you're talking and describing Leonard Hamilton, who consistently and persistently puts Florida State players in the league, two of them in the lottery last year. We're not even going into Jonathan Isaac and Dwayne Bacon and all these other guys, but doesn't nearly get the credit that I feel like personally that he deserves. I hope I'm not being overly disrespectful when I say this, and I mean it not facetiously, but he's obviously not the same coach and not the same achievements. But he kind of reminds me of like the John Thompson of the ACC type of feel to him. Obviously not comparing resumes and such. But, you know, they've been knocking on this door, and teams that keep knocking on the door and knocking on the door and knocking on the door, they eventually end up doing it. We saw it out of many of different programs over the years, and that's one of the reasons why I believe they're going to do it. I mean, Michigan is inexperienced right now. You start talking about Isaiah Livers. Arguably or inarguably, depending on the position or how you look at it, he's not playing, and that's their experience. Now, you take that out and you insert a guy like Shondi Brown, who has a really good build, and maybe, I'll use that loosely, that's a stretch, maybe an NBA player. But he fills in that void, and he has to be good, but he doesn't have that experience being a transfer from Wake Forest of what it's like to win or go home. While Mike Smith, the point guard, has been equally really good for them. He's also a transfer from Columbia in the Ivy League. He doesn't know what it's like to win or go home. Last time I checked, I think Juwan Howard is in his second year. I don't think he knows what it's like to win or go home as a coach. And then you've got the big man in the middle. When you start talking about Hunter Dickinson, who has been phenomenal, if anybody else has, that hardly ever gets talked about, that's a freshman, all year long. But he either knows what it's like to win or go home. I'm going to take this experience on this one, and I'm going to go with Florida State.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm actually going to go with you on this one. I'm going Big Ten. I'm going with Michigan to win this game up against Florida State. I feel like this is where the buck stops, at least for Leonard Hamilton. He's lost a lot of these tough games, especially being out of the state of Florida. If he could pull this one off, this will shock me like crazy, especially where the Michigan has been playing ball. Even though I know Livers is out, I feel like they have enough to actually win and go to war with Florida State. The next matchup that I have, this is a tough one because I've overlooked UCLA a lot. And Alabama has been a team that I've been talking about ever since I got with you guys and putting this together. And I've been watching them since last year coming into this season also, being a Petty Jr. fan as well. How do you guys feel about UCLA or Alabama advancing to the Elite Eight? I'll come to you first, DT. Bruins or the Tide?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Alabama on this one. I think just for the simple fact that I just think when it comes to the athleticism, I mean, if they were just one-dimensional like they've shown many times this year to where it's just kind of like live and die by the three and can't do much else outside of that, then that's hard to do for four games in a row, five, six games in a row to win a national championship. But the difference maker has been the fact that they have been able to implement defense in there as well. When you got guys like Hubert Jones, who's probably the most athletic guy still remaining in the tournament, a shooter like Petty, like you already mentioned. But nobody hardly ever talks about the transfer from Villanova, Javon Quinterly, who takes this team to a whole different level when he's on the floor. So I'm going to go with Alabama. I want to go with UCLA. But I've been going against Alabama for quite some time in this tournament, let alone in this year. I get a feeling as soon as I roll with Alabama, man, then they're going to end up losing. So I think UCLA is playing with house money at this point. They're wearing UCLA across. Listen, this is one of the most dominant programs, historic traditional basketball programs ever, versus one of the most dominant historic traditional football programs ever. If UCLA don't read the name on the front of the doggone jersey and make these folks realize whose sport this is, that's going to be extreme disappointment for me and Mick Cronin out of his guys, man. I'm taking Alabama, but I think UCLA needs to go out there and put a stamp on them.
Chris, who do you got?
I've got Alabama, and the reason why I have Alabama is unless he's playing some type of mind game, UCLA head coach Mick Cronin seems to be doing an awful lot of time blasting the NBA and the G League over Deshaun Nix, and I would think he would be more concerned with the matchup with Alabama, so that kind of has me concerned. But shout out to what UCLA is doing because they need to do this. Like Deshaun said, they are UCLA. The fact that we can't really take them seriously speaks volumes. So Alabama, they've been trending the right direction the last 5 years, and I'm on board for them this year.
I agree. I'm going to go with Alabama to pull this off, even though I've been talking back about the dog on Pac-12. UCLA has been able to surprise me up until this point. I got people that are watching me closely while I'm saying this too, so I can't be wrong again because I'll have to hear about it for the next 7 days if UCLA, especially if UCLA pulls this off and this person knows who I'm talking to right now. The last matchup that I have, and we'll give closeouts from each of you as well, is Oregon or USC being a Pac-12 matchup. Who do you see winning this, a 6 and a 7 going at it to advance to an Elite Eight? And we'll get closeouts from each of you. I'll start with you first, DT. Your thoughts, Ducks or the Brother Trojan?
I'm going to roll with Oregon on this one. I think this is where the coaching matters. a little bit more. I know that they don't necessarily have the size that USC has because they're the biggest team in the country. When you start talking about guys like LJ Figueroa, who's a transfer from St. John's, and Chris Duarte, and Will Richards. I mean, you got a really good team that doesn't necessarily have the size, but if they can get those guys on the open floor and start getting downhill and into transition, I think that they're always going to be a tough out. But you start putting guys in, that's where you have to expose players like Evan Mobley kind of force him to show some of his freshman inexperience in situations like these. Andy Enfield has stolen more money than Floyd Mayweather over the years. I expect for that to extend and to continue. Congratulations on getting to the Sweet 16.
Okay, and anything that you'd like to plug or close out with as well?
Yeah, looking forward to that Oregon and Gonzaga matchup in the Elite Eight. Coming up, at least I think so anyways, in the event Oregon wins, man. And that's kind of a rematch of the 2017 semifinal in the Final Four. But just appreciate everybody for listening, you guys' patience and so forth, man. And I can't wait to hear one of these coaches, bro, just like after the game is going to be really excited for their team. You know, they're always trying to yell anyways and got the hoarse voice. Now, I appreciate it. You guys have done such a great job all year long, and I couldn't have asked for better kids. And I want to definitely give them their credit. I mean, they've just been fought. They made so many sacrifices during the COVID this year. I love this guy right here. They always got to rub him on the head or do something like the coach cry. That's the emotion that comes along with March Madness. That's the emotion that I'm looking forward to at the end of this weekend. So at Take Hoops on the Twitter, TATESTAKEHOOPS, where basketball lives.
All right, Chris, and your thoughts on this one? Thoughts for the rule?
I've got USC.
Chris, I want to hear, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but at the tail end, I want to hear your coach's speech, kind of like what I just gave. I want to hear that in the Chris voice.
All right, I have USC because USC has been able to beat Oregon earlier this year, 72-58. The second game was postponed. I like Oregon being able to shoot, but I just don't think that they're, again, with the layoff they had, I think all shooters have to start warming up again. So I'll pick USC in this matchup. In terms of, and that was a really good Izzo you did, DT. I would probably go along the lines of, we all had a job to do. We came in, we were super focused. I want to give credit to Player X. He was able to lead this team to victory. We were down. We needed that voice. He came in. He told the guys, all of these kids are great, but he told the guys, he said, hey, we won't lose. He grabbed the ball. He shot it. And when he shot it, we all knew, and the rest is history.
All right. So this is a tough one for me. I am going to go with USC to win this matchup. And Oregon, I don't want to say that you got here by luck, but I'll say you got here by chance. And this is an evenly matched up situation through Vegas. USC is favored by 2 points. I think the Trojans actually carry this one out in advance to an Elite Eight. Check us out on NBA on CH, also with the Sports City Chef. We'll be back here tomorrow with Sports City, with the Sunday morning brunch, with everything that'll go down today. We'll talk about the games that'll take place and all of the news and notes. I am going to do something since this is the college campus tailgate. Give a shout out. I want to do a quick moment of silence to somebody that actually brought me to the university that I love in college football. Rest in peace. Shout out to Howard Schnellenberger, passing away at the age of 87, starting off the dynasty of the U. All right. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef. 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 Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cap. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.